Michaela.
Yes.
Chico rolls. Do you partake?
Nope. Never
no.
have.
No. You've never done a Chico roll?
No. Am I missing out in life?
Well, my answer is yes, I've had a Chico roll and I'm never going back. that's something that you only ever eat once, in my humble opinion.
Right. No, so, no, I never have.
What's the worst hot box food you've ever eaten?
The worst?
Hot box food.
Oh, I do love a good lasagna topper. Actually, I had like full-on deep-fried lamb cutlets once and they were terrible. They looked delicious and I took one bite and go, oh, that's disgusting.
Lesson for all of us, don't eat the deep-fried lamb cutlets.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
And welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show, coming to you live from a trucker's lounge on the road. Welcome, Michaela.
Welcome, welcome. I've just got my blue singlet out and my stubbies and my suntanned arms.
Just doing a bit of research for the show here, checking out Blue Collar Land. But we're on the road again, aren't we, Michaela?
We've been
out interviewing again today. And so we're dedicated to putting these episodes together for our listeners.
It is 8 o'clock the night before. It goes out on Friday, and this is us. We've pulled over basically on the side of the road, found the quietest part of the petrol station that we could possibly find, which was a trucker's lounge.
That's right.
They do have nice black leather couches here.
And they look reasonably clean, actually.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing this is an audio medium, but we'll put a photo up on the show page for this episode so you can see us in all our glory.
We're dedicated to our fans.
The life of famous podcasters. Oh,
this is
how glamorous it gets. There's pictures on the wall here of dirty great hamburgers and that's supposed to be a ham and cheese croissant, but I don't know. It looks.
I reckon it's been photoshopped a bit.
Maybe
I don't reckon that's getting served out there.
Heart attack on a plate. Anyway, let's talk about helping our listeners with their tradie businesses. And today's episode, we're bringing you another real tradie story.
Yes, and it's from
Wayne and Libby Marsh.
Yes. From
Beaumont Tiles. So they're a Beaumont Tiles franchise. And great story with these guys. We don't want to sort of give too much away. We'll let them tell their story, but it really is one of those, it's not rags to riches, but it's more just going from being tradies on the tools to where they are now, which is much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and Wayne definitely has some really good points about changes in mindset that he have to happen and things that they've been successful in their business now that he wish he'd applied when he was on the tools as well. So I think everyone's going to get a lot out of this. We haven't had a real tradie case for a little while, so it'd be good to share this, so enjoy.
Great stuff. So welcome to another Real Tradies Story. I'm Warwick from Tradies Business Toolkit, and I'm joined by
Michaela from Tradies VA.
And we also have with us Wayne and Libby Marsh from Beaumont Tiles Caboolture. But it wasn't always Beaumont Tiles Caboolture, was it, guys? Welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about what happened before you guys became the high-profile franchise shop owner that you are now? Where did it all start for you guys?
I was just a mum.
You go, Libby.
Wow. Well, Wayne was on the tools as a tiler. He's been on the tools for about 20 plus years. I was raising babies at home and We were getting coached through our business, and we sort of thought, well, what would be the next stage to get Wayne off the tools so that the body could not go through the pain that it's been through? And we decided to buy a little tile shop in Caboolture called Caboolture Tiles. From there, just about a year and a bit ago, we decided to buy into the Beaumont Tiles franchise. Mostly for brand, and so far so good. Make it sound pretty simple.
Yeah, and so how different is it from
you know, being a supplier now as opposed to being on the tools for you guys?
Oh, physically, 100% better.
Yeah.
Mentally, it has its, mentally, it has its challenges.
Yeah.
As if we thought it was going to be easy, we wouldn't have done it, obviously. Yeah. It has its challenges, but the big picture, yeah, we're quite happy with where we are seated at the moment.
Yeah.
And then obviously working together with your wife 6 days a week and then going home and spending time with her.
Aren't you a lucky man? Yeah.
Has challenges. She knows where I am every minute of the day.
You can't escape, Wayne.
I can't escape, but...
Well, we're not divorced yet, so...
I wouldn't change it for the world. Oh. And I say that with everything crossed.
So has it been a good ride, though? I mean, business and ownership?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a... Like, we've probably... I think we've grown as people during it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus raising 2 kids during this journey as well, which they've been really good. And but who knows, next 10 years we'll still be going, I gather. I don't think we're going to look back now. I definitely don't want to go back on the tools, that's for sure.
And so someone looking at buying a business and getting off the tools, what would you say to them to really consider that perhaps you didn't at the time that you were doing it? How is it different to how you imagined, I guess, being, you know, in the retail sector as opposed to on the tools?
I don't think you realise that you do really get out what you put in.
Yeah.
It's no easy ride that you just can come in and sit here and, you know, drink coffee and it's all going to flow into place. There's a lot of hard work. You've got to, you know, we had to really set the boundaries and get this established before we even chased more builders, for instance.
Yep.
Which we've done that. And that just didn't happen in 1 year. That's taken 3 to 4 years to do that, to be confident in ourselves and then go out and attract these larger builders to say that not just talk the talk, but we can deliver.
Yep.
And we're starting to now reap the rewards for that. So
that was an important element of your growth, is developing those relationships with builders.
Yeah.
That's when
I still remember the first time I went out and spoke to a builder. It was only a small builder, but now when I look back, I think it would have been nearly laughable for that lady, for me coming in there trying to talk the talk, and I really had no idea.
Yeah.
Where now I know what I know now, I can go to these builders and know the whole system, how it works, know what the builder really wants from us, what we can deliver. So, yeah, it's taken a bit of time, but we're heading in the right direction.
So what's your tips in dealing with builders and developing that relationship for someone that's wanting to improve their partnership?
First of all, do your homework on that builder.
Yeah.
Know a lot more about them. Talk about them as well, not just about you.
Yeah.
Don't treat them like just another number as a builder. Yep. It's not always, they make mistakes, we all make mistakes, but it's not the fact that if you make a mistake or something like that, we've got to fix it, deal with it, move on, which still happens today. We're all going to make mistakes, and keep in contact with them regularly to make sure everything's fine, and if it means a carton of beer, it's a carton of beer, and just keep that rapport right through the year.
Yeah.
And I always constantly ask them, is there anything else that I can do for you? Is there anything else you want? It's not just price driven. So then if someone else does attract them from somewhere else, another company, they know that they've got that personal relationship with us.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
So I think that's a really important point, that even if you necessarily mightn't have any jobs on the go or whatever, you're still making an effort to contact them and just, you know, pick up the phone.
Yep.
Probably only takes you a few minutes.
It's only a couple of minutes just to see if there's anything we can do.
Yep.
And then it just plants that seed in the back of their mind to go, hey, they're not treating us just like a number.
Yeah.
There's that personal relationship, and then I think when they get a phone call from someone else, and even if they try to undercut us on price wise, we deliver that service. That, you know, and I always still believe if they like you, they'll buy from you. Yep. So
it's just really a matter of picking up the phone and making that initial call, try and get in front of them, and you know, you're going to get a few no's, but just keep going till you can
get in there. I got a lot of no's.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me take a backward step.
No.
Just say, hey, I'm just here, I just want to let you know this is what we're about. And I didn't bombard them every week, obviously, to the point where they didn't want to borrow me, but I just planted seeds in a lot of these builders that, hey, they're here now.
Yep.
We're not here for 2 years. We're here for the long haul. And, yeah, so far so good.
So you've come off the tools and into a business. I mean, our whole mission at the show is to help tradies get off the tools.
Yeah.
What sort of changes in headspace or, you know, your use of time or whatever have you gone through, Wayne, since being a tiler to now, you know, owning a tile shop?
Yeah, well, changes in headspace would be huge because, you know, when you're on the tools, although it seems like it's pretty hectic, it's pretty basic when you think about it, when you can go there, put on the radio and work from 7 to 3.30 and then go home. Here has been a lot different mentally, getting our heads around that. We did have a mentor business-wise that helped us through a lot of that early teething problems, which was great. And we're always picking other people's brains, other business owners that we know as well. Do it through networking and such that, you know, just to learn a few more different ideas that we can implement on our business. And now we're with a franchise like Beaumont's, they've got full-time people in there that can help. It's only a phone call away. So if we do have any problems, or I just pick up the phone and have a chat, and the next day someone's up here and we nut through it and then we move forward. So
yeah. I think a really important thing there that I think a lot of tradies don't do, and that's network.
Mm-hmm.
How have you found that's made a difference?
Huge. Just that now that we can even walk in the local shopping centre and someone might go, hey, there's them guys from that do Beaumont's, through the local school. We do a lot of networking through there, advertising in our school. So people go, hey, we even had the principal come down and say, we've got to buy tiles. Yep, they know it's from us. So, you know, if you're trying to put them to a dollar figure, it could be a fair slice during the year of stuff that it's not hard to go to some of these breakfasts and just get your name out there a bit more.
Yep.
So yeah, for a tradie that's still on the tools, for sure, get out there, get your name known. People then start chatting you, think, hey, this bloke seems like he knows what he's on about.
Yep.
Nice to deal with. That's your foot in your door.
Yeah, it's something we're always telling them to do, and they just don't do it. And, you know, I know one local plumber that, you know, all his work basically comes from his local Chamber of Commerce now.
Yeah.
You know, because he just knows everyone in town. And they know everyone, and he's just run off his feet.
Well, I used to think networking was Friday afternoon at the pub with the boys telling each other how good everyone is. But, you know, if you do it in first thing in the morning with people that might deliver something to your business, rather than, you know, patting you on the back, it's going to be, you'll reap the rewards down the track for sure.
So you mentioned, Wayne, that the time involvement owning this business is a bit more, by the sounds of it, than actually being on the tools. You're also, nowadays, a pretty hardcore triathlete, mate. You've done how many Ironmans or half Ironmans have you done now, mate?
Five
half Ironmans, and you're having a tilt at the...
One big one coming in May.
Yeah,
so that's the plan.
So how many hours a week are you training for that, mate?
This week, for instance, 18. So I'm in a big block at the moment. But I fit that all around work and, you know, you think you've got no time, but, I fit that all around work time.
Yeah. Did you ever see yourself being able to fit that sort of stuff in with your work?
No chance. And when we started the business, we obviously had to do a lot of hard work and hours to get it going. But once you implement some good structures in the business, we've got good staff in the business as well, that once all that's under control, well, I can fit in the hour I swim during the day. And then, so that's the benefit of owning your own business, where if I was on the tools, there's no way I'd be able to do that. So...
Do you think those same skills translate to a trade business though? I mean, you're in a shop now, but if you took those skills back to your trade business as a tiler, what do you think would have changed about it? I mean, how might that business have been different now?
Well, I could have put on more staff, had the confidence to do that, to put on more tradesmen with me and oversee a few more things rather than try to be... I'm the only one who can do the work and trust to do the job properly. I could have looked back the last 10 years and done that if I was still on the tools. So anyone that's got multiple tradesmen, you have to step back from the business yourself a bit to oversee it and then it can sort of run itself a lot easier then than what you think you have to be there 24/7.
Yep, that's the key, isn't it? Is being able to let go of some of the stuff
and be able to trust other people to do it, and then you can, in that time, you could be driving around sourcing more work rather than you have to be the one doing it. So I probably lost out a lot of work doing that over at least a 10-year period. I was very untrusting.
Where do you think that comes from, mate? Why did you personally find it hard to trust other?
I just thought there was a lot of cowboys out there, and then I started getting a good name for myself doing the tiling. So I thought that was it. I'm the only one that can do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then now when I look back and think, and I see other guys that can do that successfully, and I can try to give them the confidence to do that themselves and see that it can work. I probably lost out a bit there myself, but in saying that, I can't take back them years. But yeah.
So you came in and you bought a local business, and then you've now gone in with Beaumont Tiles and a franchise model. What were some of the reasons you looked at going into the franchise side of the industry?
Just brand was a huge thing for us. Yeah. Unfortunately, material-wise, the way it's been since I've been in it for 20 years, some of the material qualities has gone backwards, I could say 20 years, confidently. Beaumont's decided to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and move forward. As little things like stock levels and are a huge thing for us, rather than have a builder spend, a client spend 5 hours looking at a tile, and then we look it up and say, look, there's no tiles available, you've got to wait another 6 weeks. It can be very disheartening, and they're not the nice phone calls you want to tell someone. So brand was a huge thing, quality obviously, and that support network that we get from them as well. We sort of run our own ship as well, but if we do have any problems, it's only a phone call away, which we never had before. So yeah, I wouldn't dishearten anyone thinking that the typical, the word franchise used to scare me a fair bit when I was younger.
Yeah.
Thinking that you're going to be, as hard as you work, they're just taking money.
Yeah.
Couldn't be further from the truth of what we've seen so far.
And so you have seen the results on paper as far as moving into a franchise model? Yeah.
As long as the wife seems happy with the money side of things.
Now, she's not here at the moment, so he can say whatever he wants.
Gone to serve a customer, so it must be working.
So she's obviously setting up a little Swiss bank account with something set in it, and she'll run away. But if she's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah. So, guys, you mentioned that you've had business mentors, more lately through the franchise, but also back when you were on the tools, you had a business coach or a mentor. What was behind your decision to get somebody from outside to actually come and work with you in the business? And I guess what's some of the key benefits you got out of that?
Well, I don't think we knew much about business. I mean, we obviously, Wayne was very good on the tools, but we didn't know much about advertising. We didn't know, all the avenues that we could go to bring more business in. Also, effective advertising. We could have tried a lot of it ourselves and had a go, but I don't think that we would have got as much back from our advertising as what we did once we did get a business coach, and they sort of helped us out a lot in that respect, but also mentally as well, just how, how far do you want to go, or what do you really want to get out of it, I suppose, so.
And it just gave us structure, I think, moving forward, where it's just like a football team playing without a coach.
Mm.
They can play the game, but without that direction, it just seemed that you could go in different directions. This way we just stuck to that sort of structure and moved forward and
got the result. It's all about having that accountability as well, having a third party, not directly you two, making you accountable for actually taking action on what you want to do.
Made us aware of our figures and things like that. Some of those things that at the end of the financial year, you just go, oh, right, is that what we made, and instead, instead now, you know, we were then concentrating it on a daily basis, you know, a weekly basis, and making sure that we were on track always. So, yeah, just things we wouldn't have normally done. We delved in a lot further into the business side of things.
And so we've talked a bit of woo-woo. I always like to bring a bit of woo-woo into the Tradies Business Show, but what's some of the big challenges that you've had to overcome? And I mean, how did you do that? Have you had any big moments where, because we've had guests on the show and tradies we've spoken to where they got to a point where it's like, you know what, stuff it all, we're just going to chuck the towel in and go back on the tools or go get a job for somebody. I mean, have you guys had any moments like that?
Yeah, daily.
Multiple.
No, we've had a few. Early days, we had quite a few moments. I think the biggest, as far as our business, what we didn't do, I think, is look at and be confident enough in setting margins in tiles and materials and being confident enough to stick to that, not reduce prices and just keep reducing and reducing. And then by the time you look at your bottom line, as far as, you know, it can cost you 30% to run a business as well, you're basically doing it for nothing. Set your price, stick to the price, and then when we come across the Beaumonts, you know, margin is a huge thing as well, because we're not in it to make friends. Let's not, you know, we need to make a dollar. And now we've got to that stage where, look, that's the price, that's the margin that we've set, and be confident enough that people are coming in, they're looking to buy something, that's the price. You know.
Yeah, not discounting as much, and I think, you know, look, we've had some struggles with cash flow. It's been probably a constant struggle. So it's really managing that, and it's having good relationships with our suppliers, so that, you know, if we're going through a tough time cash flow wise, that they're aware of that too. We've always been able to pay the bills though, so that's a. A positive.
Electricity's on.
Yeah, so. It's on. So.
Yeah. And so we had Michelle House in episode 22 talk about husbands and wife working together in the business and how that can affect their relationship, particularly around talking about money in the business. So how have you guys, well, hopefully survived the jungle of working together? And
we're fine now. Like, separate beds are a great thing.
Yeah. Separate houses.
Separate houses are fine.
See each other at work. It was very testing in the start, I think. It was Wayne's industry. I had a little bit of an idea of how to do the bookwork, but put those two together and you can clash quite quickly, and we did, and we had to learn how to speak to each other properly. You know, we just had to learn how each other worked in business and to sort of respect that and act more like business owners rather than husband and wife. You know, we're in a business environment now with employees rather than, you know, at home where you can let things fly. So, we would have been divorced by now, I think, if it wasn't going to work. But
and we don't really take work home at all.
And that's what I was going to say. That's one thing Michelle says, you know, you have a deadline where you talk about work, and once you go home, that's it. You know, you're not talking about
it. We don't really take it home. So, occasionally, once a month, we might, Liv will pull out a bottle of wine and I'll have a few beers and we sit down and nut things out work-wise.
Yeah.
Never in an argument side of thing. It's just more of a business side of thing. And sometimes that does help to get us.
Yep.
It's like another little bonding session, and we can get more motivated and, right, let's move forward, and then, you know, forget about it totally in the morning. But anyway, then we're hungover and just no one remembers what happened.
Some great ideas come out of some good planning, and some great ideas and some good motivation to move forward comes out of some of those nights where, you know, you do sit down over a few drinks and just go, What have we done wrong? How can we move on? How can we make it better? And you can come back a bit more motivated after that sometimes, I find.
And it's all about just, like, clear communication.
Yeah.
It's just about talking about it, you know.
There's no holding back here.
No. 11 years of it.
Well, we won't ask you to share any of the details of some of those conversations on the show. It sounds like there's some pretty in-depth conversations going on. But one question we like to ask a lot of our expert guests, and I'm going to hit you guys with it today as well, given that you are a supplier nowadays, is if you had 1,000 tradies in the room, what's one or maybe two pieces of advice you'd like to impart upon them?
I'd like them to call their customers, just to be organised and to call their customers, and to not over-promise. That seems to let everybody down. Lets them down, lets us down, lets the customer down. You know, my biggest thing would be communication with your customers is king. It's gold.
I'd probably, it's a first, but I'll probably agree with Libby. I would say communication to me these days, being so long on the tools, I think communication with the client is as important as nearly as the finished product these days, because I've seen a lot of guys who are brilliant communicators and they're constantly getting the work, albeit that they're probably not the best tradesmen I've seen. So that's a huge thing, rather than just being the best tradesman sitting at home or fishing every day with no money. So I think a real good communicator, understanding the client's needs would be the number one thing. And then obviously if they need help outside their business, as far as having someone oversee it, paying bills or looking at where their money and their cash flow is going, don't be too much of a man to sit back and say, look, I need a bit of help. You know, yeah. if you have to lose 5% or 10% of your wage to get someone to help you out, you'll probably find that your business is going to grow tenfold anyway. And you can concentrate on more of that and never have them nasty phone calls with us chasing money, and concentrate on what you do best, and that's whatever trade you're doing.
Cool.
Great advice, guys.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time today. And anyone around the Caboolture area that's listening, how can they find out about you guys and where you're located? And
well, they're probably all still in bed hungover at Caboolture until before 12, so this would probably have to be recording.
Where on?
At the train station, maybe. They'd wake up about 12. No.
We're on Beerbarham Road. 70 to 72 Beerbarham Road, just past R&R Hire and opposite Munchies, and we've got a little fruit shop on the end of us.
Yeah.
Great.
What's your web address, guys?
It's www.tile.com.au. It's a generic website for all Beaumonts, so it's a great website. It's really good.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
No worries. Guys.
Thanks for having us.
So there's some great stories there from the guys from Beaumont Tiles, and I think a lot of people can take away about you can change direction, get off the tools and go into something else, so that, you know, you can still have some freedom in your business and you're not just wearing your old body out, and move yourself forward even later in life.
And it's not always about getting your current business to the stage where it's managed or something like that.
Yeah.
It could actually be something a little bit of a sideways step, like Wayne and Libby, where they've bought a supply business, essentially, still in the same industry, and that's served them really, really well by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they've had a great success with going the franchise model, because you do hear good and bad about that, so it's great to hear someone that has got a lot out of it and been able to really use that brand name to grow their business.
Absolutely. So great to have Wayne and Libby on the show. Thanks again to those guys for sharing their, not a lot of their dirty laundry, but sharing their story with us. And really excited about next week. We got something very, very cool that we've been working on for a while, Michaela.
Yes.
So if you're listening, which you are, obviously, if you just heard me say that, but you need to listen to next week's episodes.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of the show and you want to be part of it and get even more help with your business, we have something really exciting that we're looking forward to launching next week. So make sure to stay tuned. You won't want to miss it.
Absolutely. And, we'll have a very special offer for those that get involved with that early. So
yes.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, so have a great weekend, Warwick, and I'll see you soon.
Until next time, bye for now.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.